Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Gubernatorial candidate and author Michael Schellenberger is going to join us for some common sense discussions on where the hell we're going as a state and as a country. We'll do the news coming up as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace, Ball, Gina, Rich from Milwaukee here, driving down the highway, heading home from work, reading the geniuses that created the sign that said, seatbelts match any outfit. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right. Well, Michael Schellenberger, who's a candidate for governor, is also an author and a very interesting independent thinker, is going to be in here in just a couple of few. So we'll just shuttle him in as soon as he pulls up here. Oh, he is here, Emmy? All right. So he'll come in post-haste. I just wrote this note down. Seeing a lot of commercials for eye drops.
Really?
Wondering what's going on. Medicated eye drops.
Yeah.
Lots of medication.
Just saw this last night.
Eye drops. Yep. And I want to know what's happening. Now, I grew up with Visine.
Yeah.
That was just pretty much for stoners.
Well, yeah, that was to get rid of the red eye.
It was an aesthetic.
Yeah.
But now, evidently, people are having a lot of dry eye issues. And I don't know if they're all on medication that's then drying up their bowels and their eyes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a side effect from all the other shit they're on.
It has to be, because that's how the pharmaceutical world works. So there's a lot of...
If they're getting that complaint a lot...
Yes, because it didn't exist before everyone got on all the opioids or the serotonin reuptake inhibitors or whatever. Now everyone's on this cocktail of drugs and their eye and their assholes are drying out. Speaking of dry assholes, no. Michael Schellenberger has joined us. He's running for governor of California. I will pull that mic right on up, and good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, so I guess we can start with your background. You're an environmentalist, I guess, in some other version of an environmentalist. Or how would you label yourself?
Well, I was radical left as a teenage boy. I went to Nicaragua to help the Sandinistas when I was 17 in the late 80s. Yeah. I worked for the Soros Foundation in the late 90s to decriminalize drugs. I helped Maxine Waters advocate for needle exchange. My understanding was we were trying to get people into rehab rather than into prison if they had drug problems. I then focused on the environment from around 2000 to the last few years, and only came back to this issue of drugs and homelessness and crime when I saw that drug overdose deaths had gone from 17,000 in the year 2000 to 70,000 in 2017. This year it's 107,000 people. God. And the homeless crisis, which I, had always suspected wasn't just about housing. Oh, it had something to do with drugs.
Yeah.
So after I wrote a best-selling book, Apocalypse Never, about the environment, it came out in 2020. COVID hit, and I thought this was a chance to write a book on the homeless crisis, figure out what's really going on, what did I get wrong, if anything, and it turns out quite a few things. So I wrote a book, San Francisco, came out the fall of last year, and after trying to get other people to run for governor and failing, other folks asked me to run, so I did, and here we are.
What are – I talk to Dr. Drew about this a lot, but I talk to Mark Garagos about it a lot. Like, we're all born and bred in Southern California. Everyone's been in the same 8 mile square radius for our entire lives.
Yeah.
So we got kind of a front row seat to what was going on. Many people relocate out here, but we've been watching it collectively for, you know, 186 years and it's falling apart and it's quantifiable. And so then the question is, do the people that are setting the policy, do they understand it's falling apart? And if they do, is there something nefarious afoot, or are they earnestly trying their best to prevent something from happening that just gets worse every year?
Yeah.
Both grounds for removal, the way.
But it's more of a stupid or incompetent.
Yes, there's something nefarious that I'm unaware of.
I mean, it's not nefarious in the sense that people are waking up in the morning being like, how do we get more people addicted to drugs and living on the street? I found no evidence for that. What I found a lot of evidence for is that liberals, progressives have a huge, huge blind spot on this issue of compassion. They think – it's just like they say. They think that if I mean well, if I'm trying to help people, nothing bad could come of that. And I know because that's how I used
enterprise.
To think.
It's a noble enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a – you know, so San Francisco, you know, I included – it was considered very controversial. But I included Jonestown. This is, you know, the cult leader Jim Jones got over 900 people killed. It's why we say drinking the Kool-Aid is about being dogmatic. And what you discover when you research Jonestown is how beautiful it was. It sounds terrible, but like you look at what, you know, this interracial, these communes, it was in San Francisco, of course, before they went to Guyana. But it was – there was something really beautiful about it, and they really were doing good charity. They were incredibly effective.
Always starts that way, right?
Always starts that way, right, for sure. And then it just gets – I mean, he was, you know, a sadist and a sociopath. There are definitely some sociopaths that I think are in charge of this stuff, meaning – just in the sense that they view people as means to an end. And so, look, I mean, I just wrote a piece about how we have mortality data. We know that 3 times more homeless people were killed in LA between 2020 and 2021 than in New York City, even though LA has 14,000 fewer homeless people. Why? Well, because New York requires and has 96% of its homeless people in shelters. They have to sleep indoors. LA has less than a third of its homeless in shelters. And the response has been from when you confront people with this evidence, and it wasn't like before this data we knew that, you know, people are being like, by the way, run over by cars, stabbed and killed. Basically, 100% of the women that I interview in the encampments have been sexually assaulted multiple times. It's totally depraved. It's out of control. It's actually worse than most people realize. So then how do you justify it? Dogmatism. You know, it's just this kind of dogmatic insistence that – and it's a kind of left-wing libertarianism. So on the one hand, for the leaders, it's, well, we can't make them stay in shelters. People say to me, they go, oh, what are you saying? You want to make people stay in shelters? My point is nobody has to stay in a shelter. You don't have to go in a shelter. But you can't sleep outside. It's dangerous to sleep outside. It's overwhelmingly clear that it's extremely dangerous for you and for everybody else for you to sleep outside. So you go stay with family and friends. Do what millions of other people do and move out of state or move into cheaper rent. But you can't sleep outside. You have to have the same position on this as they do in New York. But there's so many people that are just, oh, my God, that's horrible that you would make homeless people sleep indoors. They think they're being nice. They're not being nice. They think they're being compassionate.
It's all part of this weird kind of gestalt of like, you want these people to work for slave wages? You want to pay them $5 an hour to work in a coal mine? It's like, they can quit. They don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to do
right. –
you don't have to work for slave wages. If you work for Hobby Lobby and they don't provide birth control pills –
go to Michael's.
Then quit and go to Michael's. Like you have free will. You have agency. You can do this. You're not the custodian of everyone all the time. The problem is the crazed narcissism, which is these little people don't know any better. They'll sleep outside. They'll work for slave wages. They'll not have birth control. It's like you're not in charge of everyone. Set policy that will persuade people to do the right thing, but you don't have to be their custodian.
Right. Well, and I've been saying that for a while. Like, it is inhumane what we're doing. We as a society, we don't treat animals like this. Mm-hmm. You see a dog running down the street by himself, you'll see 15 people come out and grab him and go, where can we go with him? You don't – we treat animals better than we think people deserve to be treated. I don't understand.
Yep.
It's not fair.
Well, no, not only that. I mean, to get to your to address your point, Adam, you know, it's a freer society than it's ever been. There's more opportunities for people than have ever existed before. So, and to your point, yeah, I mean, it's a libertarianism, and it's tied to something that I think is really at bottom, which is this victim ideology. It's this idea that you can divide people into victims and oppressors. And to victims, everything should be given and nothing required, including following the laws. Mm-hmm. So if you're designated a victim, then you're not required to follow the laws. And I think that's at the bottom of this. That's where this is headed. That's what's so disturbing about it, is that you see – and this is you know, something that an article recently in Barry Weiss's Substack was that there's now an effort to change legal – like there's now an effort in law schools – but basically to have laws enforced differently for different groups of people. That's how far – this is where this is going.
I feel like we did that a few decades ago and it wasn't the right thing to do.
It can't work. It never works. The whole notion of like, well, we'll just change the math scores for this group or for that group. It just – it's an impossibility. It's essentially like saying this car isn't – capable of going highway speeds. Well, just break the glass on the speedometer, take your finger and scooch it up to 65 right. miles an hour. It's like right. you could do that.
Right.
It will not fix anything. Right. There's never any signs that it fixes anything. There's no historical evidence that it works. And so the question is why, especially in California, Los Angeles, San Francisco, why do we have this crazy stay the course mentality when the course is going yeah. into the ocean?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, right? Because, of course, you know, my sister's in Boston. You know, New York and Boston are run by Democrats. I mean, they're run by people that consider themselves progressive Democrats. They don't allow homeless encampments. They had one briefly in Boston, actually, last year. They shut it down. I think New York is harder. It becomes even more harder to manage than LA with just allowing open air drug scenes. But there's also a sense of propriety. I also think there's this thing, I call it Big Lebowski syndrome, which mm-hmm. is the, you know, because there's the hardcore activists who are like, how dare you require people to sleep indoors?
Right.
But then there's sort of like your average Joe who's like, hey, take it easy, man. You right. know,
that's like your opinion.
That's just your opinion, man. I mean, I hear it all the time from just workaday liberals in the Bay Area. They're like, why are you so uptight? And I'm like, well, because people are being raped and murdered. And they're kind of like, well, they're free to be there. You know, there's a California – it's the Saturday Night Live skit too has it, which right. is just a sort of – it is a kind of laissez-faire libertarianism. But it's obviously reached a breaking point, and that's why, you know, you're seeing this backlash. That's why I'm running. That's why I'm in your studio.
Brian.
Well, it just occurred to me, so feel free to prove me wrong, but it strikes me that it would be more difficult in L.A. than New York to do the housing indoors mandate, because if L.A., say, was to adopt that, you've always got the city of Santa Monica that exists, you know, independently of L.A. You got the city of Culver City, on and on and on. There's all these little enclaves where they can make their own rules, and apparently they're very progressive, and they might just reject it.
Yeah, they
but
do.
Feel free to, you know, that just occurred to me.
Well, no, and they do. I mean, that was so interesting when I was covering the Venice Beach encampments, and then they would stop at the border of Santa Monica, yeah. and I'd be like, what happened here? And it's like they're just in. And there's this argument I'm having a public argument about this, but basically there's people that are like, it's such a mystery. Why are there people camping in these places? It's like, well, because they allow it. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day,
no one's coming in
and moving
move.
Them. And then they say, well, you can't move them because there's this ruling out of Boise, Idaho, the Supreme Court upheld that you can't move people. They call it move alongs. You can't move people along unless you have sufficient shelter. Well, just build the shelter. I mean, right. if there were an earthquake and there were 150,000 people on the street being raped and killed, 150,000 people, you would build the shelters within hours and have right. people getting medical care. So this is clearly a political. So there's a manipulation of our compassion, of our love of freedom by radical left-wing activists posing as homeless advocates, posing as homeless experts, who make up all these reasons why you can't make people go indoors, as though, you know, because people act like, oh my, well, how would it work? You know, like, how would it work? And you're going, well, you build a shelter and you say you can't sleep there, but you can sleep in the shelter. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, that's the whole, people are like, oh, but that, you know. They make up all sorts of objections to it, and then they accuse anybody, and you see it here in LA, it's happening to the mayor's race. They accuse anybody who suggests doing that as a fascist. Like, that's just their go-to.
Sure.
I just saw on a Fox article today, and I didn't read the whole thing, but I glanced over it. A lot of moms in San Francisco are mad at the government going, you are allowing my son to die on the street. Like,
with, that's right.
The way you guys are just sort of being like, whatever, come to San Francisco and use whatever you want. These family members are begging them to uphold the law so they don't kill their family members.
That's right. That's Mothers Against Drug Deaths. They're actually part of the same coalition I'm part of, which is called the California Peace Coalition, which is parents of homeless addicts, parents of kids killed by fentanyl, parents who discovered their kids dead on their bedroom floors, and then recovering addicts who are proof. There's so much addiction pessimism. I just testified in the assembly a couple of days ago, and people that are trying to promote these supervised drug use sites, they just get up there and they say, well, you know, it's really hard to quit drugs, so therefore we're just going to maintain people's addictions. I mean, okay, if you're 75 years old and you've been using heroin for 50 years, that's you might need palliative care.
If you're Alan Arkin and Little Miss Sunshine.
But if you're like a 25-year-old who went right from weed to fentanyl, to give up on that person and say they can't recover from addiction, it's bonkers. Yeah. It's very cynical. It's gross and sinister, actually.
I'm older than everyone in the room. I had a hippie mom. I had a grandmother who was this way. You know, you can talk about codes, legislation, whatever. It's really just about authority. They just fucking hate authority. They just – the man, everything's the man. They hate football coaches. They hate cops. They hate anyone who has anything close to the rule of law. You keep wondering, like, why are they against this? And then they're against that, and they're against this. They just hate dudes with authority. They just push back against all authority. The homeless advocates are a bunch of fucking wackadoodles who fucking are pissed at their stepdad for molesting them. And they see their stepdad and everything. They're like the really shitty TSA airport worker who's just giving shit to every single person. It's like, God, he has a problem with that guy because it was water problem. Then that guy says, no, they have a problem with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's all authority. And anyone, and basically what we're saying is where's the authority? These people, there's dudes sleeping. The guy's got a broken down Winnebago in front of my $3 million house in Venice, and he's dealing fentanyl. Somebody get involved. It's like, well, that sounds like authority.
Yeah.
All the shit we want is all authority-based, they fucking hate it. And what they do is they then glorify all these people. Like, hey, the face of homelessness, that's not a – it could be a mother of three who just lost their job or these. Everyone is proud. Everyone is something. No one is really out. That's what it is. You could distill it all down to just pure and simple authority and or – if you ask them their permission for anything, the answer is no. Like, hey, we need a water desalinization plant. No.
Well, no,
we need an electrical grid. No.
Yeah.
We need an extra lane for the alleviate traffic. Like, no. Like, just no. The answer is no to any questions you have. And anytime you want to evoke any authority in any situation, in any environment, they're against it.
Well, that's right.
That's all this.
I mean, it's interesting because, of course, They if you say, hey, there's an RV selling meth in front of my kid's school, can the police come and remove it? Oh, no, because those people are victims. But if you're like – but yet the same people will turn around a few minutes later and be like, we have to impose mask mandates on everybody in Alameda County. That's what that's where I live, by
that's
the way.
That's their idea.
So one question that people put to me is they're like, why are they so comfortable imposing mask mandates on everybody but not asking the guy in the RV in front of the school to move? Well, it's victim ideology. They think that the guy in the RV selling meth to everybody is a victim because he's supposedly homeless. Now, I do think, though, that you're detecting something else which is important here, which is that there is a very – among the radical activists, you know, that dress themselves up as homeless experts, they really hate society. They really hate modern capitalist society. And so for them, there's much more of a nihilism, just a kind of a hatred, a rejection. So they like the guys in the RV selling meth in front of the school. By this is a real story, by the way. This is Venice Beach. They like that because their attitude is F bourgeois society.
Yes.
They hate bourgeois society, but then they'll turn around and be like, everybody has to wear a mask. So it's some of it's will to power. Some of it is nihilism, hatred of the society. I mean, I think what's interesting, and this is a subject, if I lose, I'll work on this in my next book, but that there's a sort of – there used to be a utopianism among the hippies in the 60s, you know, and I noticed this first on climate change. That all is gone. Like, you're kind of like, where is this headed? Like, what's the utopian vision? It used to be socialism, then it was ecotopia, but now it's just...
Yes, they can't listen.
Yeah, now it's just Mad Max.
I grew up with these idiots. They can't just go, fuck it, I hate this country. They go, I love this country, okay? But you understand, the Trail of Tears was an atrocity. And then you go back to, you know, Japanese American internment camps. It's like, yeah, okay, you love this country, but all you can ever do is bring up anything we've ever done that was negative in this country. Never talk about liberating, you know, camps in Auschwitz or winning World War II or just whatever, Golden Gate Bridge. You know, it's like, I love this country, and then all you do is talk about any atrocity that's in our history and all countries' histories as well. So at a certain point, forgive me if I don't think you love this country that much. Yep. And this is what these nihilists do. They go, yeah, they can't just go, fuck it. It's, look, basically, they failed. They're fucking losers. They tried to try to start some fucking business. It failed 1,000 times. And now they just want it all to go away. Like, I was a really shitty student. I wanted the school, the hall of records at my school to burn to the ground because I wanted all my D minuses to turn to ashes. But if you're an A student, you don't want that because mm-hmm. you need your transcript to go to Stanford, right? They're all fucking horrible students. They want to burn it to the ground. They can't say it out loud, but they act that way.
I mean, there's a shocking number of them that do come from good schools, that do come from privilege, and it's just a kind of straight-up assertion
of
their
power.
All
the more reason why they're fucking losers.
Yeah.
They got their Stanford degree, and they can't figure out a way to turn it into more than $61,000 a year. All right, well, let's talk about the environment. Let's talk about nuclear. Let's talk about the forest and the wildfire. So. Yep. We're all preparing for wildfires and rolling blackouts and no water to put out the wildfires,
right,
which is – you want to talk about sort of key essential core issues of government.
Yes.
I would say it's right up there.
Keeping the city standing.
Yeah, I would say fire and water and power, right up there.
Yeah, I mean, California is in a crisis of civilization at this point. It's a crisis of chaos. We're not maintaining the institutions. I mean – it's all of them at once, as you said. We're not building the desalination facilities to produce the fresh water. We're not maintaining the forests so that they don't go up in flames every summer. We are not we're not building the power plants. They're trying to take down the power plants. Governor Gavin Newsom, you know, in 2019, he said, well, at some point, we might even build a close a prison. He's now planning on emptying 3 prisons, releasing 76,000 prisoners out of the 96,000 that are in prison.
This would be a good movie.
63,000 of whom are in for violent offenses. I'm all for, hey, you do your time, you do the crime, you do the time, and then you're free. But we're talking about early releases. So there's and you know, it's interesting because I'm a big advocate of nuclear power plants. I've been trying to keep them open to prevent exactly what's happening now, which is the worst energy crisis in 50 years. But when I started working on this new book on San Francisco, I was like, wow, like I look at the people trying to shut down nuclear plants and the people who were shutting down psychiatric hospitals. Mm. And then you look at the people then trying to shut down the prisons and shut down the police stations and not build the power plants you need. It's that same nihilism. It's the same destructive impulse. And every time they say the same thing, which is, no, we've got this better alternative. We're going to have community-based care, mental health. Well, they didn't build that, right, but they shut down the psychiatric hospitals beforehand. With the power plants, they go, well, we don't need nuclear power plants or natural gas power plants because we've got renewables. It's all going to work out fine. Well, no, it doesn't work out fine because they're not reliable and the batteries are really expensive and you need to have reliable power plants. Well, we're going to let the forests return to natural ecosystem states. It doesn't work. And so every time they sell a bill of goods to the society – things fall apart, and then, of course, they find other things. They blame racism. They blame climate change.
I know,
but
what the fuck is wrong with everybody? You know what I mean? Like, I've talked to a million experts on power, and they've all like, man, nuclear is the way to go, but you just can't sell it. Why do we have to sell it? You know, like, God bless him. I sat here with Bill Shatner. It's like, he's a very smart guy, doesn't know anything about nuclear power plants, against it. You know what I mean? Like, it's been the greatest campaign ever.
Yes.
You took this thing that, as an environmentalist, should be your friend. Yeah. Nuclear power is your friend if you're into the environment. and you've just slung mud at it and gotten every dope in fucking California in the United States to walk in lockstep right behind your retarded ass off a powerless cliff. What's wrong with everyone's malleable brain? Doesn't anyone read articles? Can't they fucking figure out shit isn't working? It's insane. It just became a movement. It became less about the science and more about the movement, yeah. I guess. And it just recruited a bunch of dumb fucks. And then we have Gavin Newsom, who's the king of the dumb fucks, who's just looking at all these people for his cues. Like, what do you guys want to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, nut job Hollywood. You don't want nuclear power? Fine. No nuclear power. Like, yeah. It's the opposite of leadership. Now, Gavin, I know there's something wrong with his brain. I don't know if syphilis is eating it. He sat where you sat. I grilled him for 45 minutes. He couldn't cobble together a sentence. Yeah. He's that fucking vapid and dumb. Now, there are people who you go like Barack Obama. Oh, that guy's a super intelligent guy. I disagree with many of his policies. Articulate, intelligent guy. Fine. Not that. But Gavin Newsom is not that. There's something wrong with Gavin Newsom, but I can't figure out what it is. And this notion that he's going to use this as some sort of springboard to the White House, what? Because I fucking raped California and destroyed it. Now we'll go national with my plan. Like, what is any insights to that man?
Well, it's exactly what you said. I mean, it's just been naked ambition the entire time, and so everything is a stepping stone on his way to the White House. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting because of course he. He does what the experts around him tell him to do on every issue, but then the experts have been wrong, and they've gotten these things to horribly, horribly wrong, whether it's on energy or homelessness or crime or nuclear.
The economy. So, we had a whole bunch of experts saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's transitory. It's not whatever. All experts, all from Yale and Harvard and whatever, all fucking handpicked.
Yeah, so then you get to – then when things start to fall apart, he looks around and goes, you know – hey, who's in charge around here? You know, what's going on? And people kind of go, you know, it's you, bro. But he doesn't have the – we're at a moment where the experts have failed so miserably. So the people that just followed the orders of the experts are failing. It requires somebody – and this is why I'm running – that has – that really – I mean, I am an expert on energy and homelessness. I've looked at the evidence myself. Most politicians don't do that. Most politicians just do whatever the experts tell them to do. He's not capable of doing that.
I don't want to speculate why. I don't want to correct you. It's not what the experts, it's what my experts tell me what to do. We had a lot of experts in COVID saying, don't shut down the schools. And you went, you're not my expert. I want to talk to my expert. We had a lot of experts saying masks don't work. Yeah. That's your expert. I got my experts.
That's right.
So it's not – I wish it was just the experts. Then maybe we'd get this sort of this potpourri of experts? Yeah. No, you've handpicked your experts who agree with you, coincidentally. This is like Mark Garagos calling up an expert at a trial. Those are vetted experts, and that's what they say, which is what I want to do.
I mean, I point to – in San Francisco, I point out that the Netherlands does a really good job on drugs, crime, and homelessness. They also did a pretty good job on COVID. They sent the kids back into school classrooms in the fall of 2020 – you know, our leaders are pretty provincial. I mean, I think Californians and Gavin Newsom, these guys travel to Europe. They obviously vacation there, but they don't interview people. They don't talk to people outside of their bubble. I have a bunch of people now that tell me that are close to Gavin, and they tell me what he's like. And he's just – it is what it looks like, which is that he's in a bubble. He's out to lunch. He thinks California's doing great because we have all this tech billionaires who made a lot of money.
Well, one
we have
less.
Their taxes.
Yeah. Elon left.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's like the part of the problem with California is that we all of us that are here, we love it so much. We love the weather. We love the natural environment. We love the we actually like the Big Lebowski culture rather than that snobby East Coast culture. That's why we're here and not in New York or Boston. But with that comes politicians who just take us for granted. We pay these super high taxes, and we have the worst public services. I mean, if you're going to spend the more money per capita on homelessness and on mental health, but we have the worst outcomes, and we don't demand any better because we're kind of like, well, you know, at least we get to be in California. So I think in some ways, we need a voter revolt. We need the voters to impose an intervention to change the system. And they tried to do that during the recall, But, you know, Larry Elder was just not somebody really aligned with California values. I'm somebody that is much more liberal, much more moderate on issues that I think most Californians hold around things like guns and abortion. Things like the pandemic, you know, I was much stronger at the beginning of it. Now it's absurd to have mask mandates. But we need to come back to some moderation. It is actually happening on nuclear. Support for keeping our last nuclear plant open is now greater than support for closing it. That's after many years of us arguing this out publicly. So I do think there's a backlash going on. Will it be sufficient? We'll find out on Tuesday.
I'm happy to give you some free advice on nuclear.
Please.
Remember all those comedy bits, you know, like late night shows would say, do you like Obamacare? Oh, hell no. Well, do you like the Affordable Care Act? Oh, I love it. So just rename it. Call it something else and everybody rebranded. Will fall in line.
What should we call it?
That's a good question.
It can't start with an N because then Jane Fonda will go, no nukes
that's
or whatever.
True.
And because and that's the science of it.
That's
fucking
true.
Fucking retarded people going, well, it said, she said, Ed Asner said no
nukes. The alliteration
so.
Right there.
The alliteration alone. I think, though, a while back we did say, don't call it nuclear, call it new energy.
Puppy power.
Nice.
Puppy power.
You know, the original vision of this was around radium, and so one idea was to call it radiant energy.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's
that was one
good.
Thing. I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you change the name, everybody goes, you're talking about nuclear power, right? And you're like, well, yeah.
So, I don't know. A lot of people are pretty dumb.
Where do you stand with the mayoral race? How do you come down on that?
I mean, I'm very similar. I mean, Caruso has basically adopted a lot of the similar things that I've been talking about. You need centralized addiction and mental health care. I think you need it at the statewide level because LA and San Francisco and San Diego, the coastal cities, cannot treat all of America's homeless, mentally ill drug addicts. They just don't have the space. But we can do it statewide. So if you have like an opening in a rehab facility in Modesto or in Bakersfield, then you can move people around. The thing people don't understand, 50 to 75% of the people on the streets are from out of California at this
point.
People come here for the drugs, for the benefits, for the fact they can sleep outside and use drugs all the time.
They stay for the beaches.
Right.
Yeah. And so those folks, if you know, you say, look, you can sleep in a shelter, can't sleep on the street. A lot of those folks are just going to need to go detox and get into rehab. We can provide that for them, but not necessarily in LA, not necessarily in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You have a statewide system. I'm calling it Cal Psych. We have California Highway Patrol. We have California Fire. We need California Psych, Cal Psych, to get people the rehab and psychiatric care they need. People coming from out of state, we get reimbursed by Medicaid. They're all destitute anyway. So that's the most important thing to do. And I think Caruso is singing from a similar hymn book, but I think he's going to need the help of a governor to make that happen.
Well, God willing. Just because I can't resist, I'd like to be the traffic czar, by the way, once you're elected governor. Because
No, don't say sure. Don't placate him and brush him off like that.
Well, I was going to say, the only question is, can we make sure that the left lane is a passing lane, for Christ's sake?
That,
I mean,
we'll start
one.
There.
I mean, how would the left lane be a passing lane? If you agree to implement that, then you've got the job.
He's light years ahead.
You're going to love his stance on red lights.
We got Gavin and one of his patent insane answers that I just told Emmy to pull up from back in the day when I interviewed him. I wanted to know what he was doing, what his thoughts on traffic were, and his reply was,
I saw a billboard out on the 405 says you're not stuck in traffic, and you're thinking, how the hell, what does that mean? It says you are traffic, which I kind of like.
He likes that.
Loved that.
That's a problem solver.
Wow.
You're not stuck in traffic, you are traffic, which I kind of like.
Problem solved.
You're the problem, in other words. I mean,
he's the worst. We're the dumbest. I don't know what's up with people in California. What the fuck is wrong with all you idiots? This guy's clearly an imbecile. Like I said, there's people you disagree with, but they're not imbeciles.
I mean,
he's
elitism too.
He's vapid.
It's elitism too, which is sort of like, why do you have to be in your car?
Right.
It's like, well, because I'm driving to work. Trying to get home from work.
They're doing the exact same thing with cars as they're doing with power, which is, what's wrong with renewables? What's wrong with wind? What's wrong with solar? It's like nothing. You don't have infrastructure. It's not in place. It's not usable. What's wrong with monorails and the Jetson Mobile and buses and bike lanes? It's like, I would love to get to, I'd love to sleep on my way to work in one of your state-of-the-art monorails, except for you don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your plan is, let's get you out of the car, and let's get you off nuclear, and let's get you onto this other stuff, except for it doesn't exist yet.
Well, they do the same thing with the homeless, where they kind of go, hey, it's the same thing. It kind of goes, hey, what's the problem with just having people sleep outside? Well, I'll tell you one of them, just to tie these two issues mm-hmm. together. Last week, a homeless guy wandered onto the freeway overpass, stopped traffic on the 405 for 3.5 hours. You may be aware of the situation.
Well, Gavin says he isn't traffic. You're traffic.
Yeah. Literally, he is traffic.
But I mean, like, literally, you're kind of like one. So the chaos, the homeless chaos, is now grinding the society to a halt.
Yes.
I mean, at that point, you're like, that is no longer just. Hey, one dude wants to smoke fentanyl in a tent all day. What's your problem, man? No. It's actually shutting the entire city down.
You go talk to the guys like at the Malibu Fire Department. They're like, most of the fires we put out are homeless fires.
50 to 80%.
50 to 80% of our fire department is putting out fires for people who want to start campfires on the fucking street. Go to Santa Monica, go on the beach, crack a beer, and light a sparkler.
See what happens.
And see how fucking fast the man comes down on you. And by the way, the same pussies who are fighting for the homeless don't want you to have that beer and that sparkler on the beach. That's that.
Because you're not a victim.
Right.
That's the difference. And by the way, most of those fires I go to the fires and interview people. They're almost all deliberately set revenge arson fires.
Shit.
Somebody slept with his girlfriend and some stuff like that. But no, I mean, this is why you can't. This is why nobody knows how much we actually spend on the homeless crisis. Because when the EMTs or the fire departments, but the EMTs revive somebody 6, 9, 12 times from an overdose, and then send them right back onto the street where they're smoking fentanyl literally within minutes after that. What's the cost of that? Nobody has any idea. You know, that's why it's like the homeless encampments are actually extremely expensive to maintain. Yes, they look like slums, but they're very expensive because they require 50 to 80% of your entire fire department budget. They require EMTs to come out and revive you because everyone's like, well, how much is what you're talking about going to cost? Getting people into rehab, even if it's like a long stay, like a 6-month stay in rehab, and then getting them into Cal Fire to do some work clearing the forest after that, which is a great use of their time. Hell of a lot cheaper than reviving them 12 times and putting out their fires and dealing with all of the problems.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's also much more humane.
And you give them purpose, and they're treated like human beings. The notion that it just gets worse every year and they try to pitch this stay the course or I'm the only man or woman for the job. Like, are you nuts? I wouldn't want any people that were currently in the city council or any form of government that has to do with LA or California. I want them all out. You guys have fucked the pooch royally. You've never stopped. It's fresh blood time. I treat it like a football franchise. You guys are 0-142. Shit can the coach. Get rid of the offensive coordinator. Clean out the front office. Let's just get some folks in there who can form thoughts, who might have a little different approach than your approach, which is no approach.
I mean, I think the thing about all these things is that the people in power try to complicate it all, but it's actually pretty straightforward. Yeah. Managing the forests means clearing the woody debris. In the coastal forests, like the Malibu forest, it's putting out the fires right away. It's clearing the area around the electrical wires. Mm. That's it. That's all it is. Homeless encampments, having enough shelters, requiring people to stay in them, having enough rehab facilities and psych hospitals. That's it.
No, I
like, this is not like, you know, electrical grids, having enough power plants. Like, I'm blowing your mind here. It's like,
I know, I can't keep up.
I know. It's like literally, like when you think back to the energy crisis 20 years ago, everyone goes, well, it was Enron. They were manipulating and everything. They're only able to manipulate the markets when you don't have enough power. Mm-hmm. If you have abundant or the water. I literally, people are so ignorant on this. I have people on social media, they say to me, oh, what are you going to do? Make it rain? Ha ha. It's like they're not even aware about cloud seeding. They're not even aware that there's three basic ways to produce abundant water. More storage in the form of reservoirs created by dams, recycling city water. Phoenix recycles all of its wastewater through its nuclear plant,
like
the gray water recycling, or desalination. The Israelis are now refilling the Sea of Galilee. I'm not saying they're going to solve all the problems in the Middle East, but it's helping a lot that the Israelis are exporting fresh water to their neighbors. California should be doing the same thing. These technologies are not, they're better now. but this is not like rock. This is not like fusion or like Neuralink.
No, but
or something.
They're all like I said.
These are basic technologies that simply need to be built, and it just requires the leadership to get it done.
Yeah, or the Coastal Commission to fucking die in a plane crash.
Question.
Yeah.
So, question related to that: we have the money, and I'm curious now because this is a good question for someone who's running for governor. The huge budget surplus that California has, the record-breaking surplus. On the one hand, we're like, "Oh, great, so much money! How nice." On the other hand, is that just poor mismanagement?
Right. No, and I mean, why is there garbage everywhere?
Poor management or mismanagement?
No, I know. It's like you're like, how is there $100 billion and yet? There's not enough fresh water. The forests are not being properly managed. There's garbage everywhere. I mean, there's just garbage everywhere. There's money. So yeah. So basically all of these agencies have huge numbers of openings. We don't have enough workers to go into them. Why don't we have enough workers? Because the cost of living is too high. So these issues are all related. Bottom line is the governor has to waive the regulations. The big one is the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA. We do waive it for when we want to build a stadium. You have to waive that to build more middle-class housing so you can have the workers to clear the forests, to build the shelters, to staff the shelters and the rehab facilities, to clean up the garbage, to maintain civilization. So there is – these things are connected in that sense. But you just have to have leadership that can explain these things to people, take the executive actions they need to take. You know, it's the Coastal Commission, by the way. It's 12 appointees. Four are the governor, four are from the assembly, four are from the Senate. The Democrats control all of those bodies. Like the governor's four appointees to the Coastal Commission all voted against the desalination plant in Huntington Beach. So I don't know. I mean, I literally don't know. Is the governor just incompetent? He can't get his own people to do what he wants? Or is he lying? I'm not excluding the possibility that both are true.
Yeah, they're both probably true. But he said he's for the plant, but he knows his four appointees will do his bidding of this sort of nihilism.
I mean, what
again.
Happens is he asks the Sierra Club, George Soros, NRDC, the unions, who he should appoint to these things, and they tell him. And the result is that basically society is just grinding to a halt because these are all organizations that have an interest in maintaining this anti-growth status
quo.
Well,
the notion that California is so regulated is flies in the face of what California always was. And as I always say, Carroll Shelby moved to Venice Beach from Texas so he could build cars, so he had the freedom to do. He wanted the freedom, so he moved. Now, you could imagine X amount of years later, Elon Musk moves to Texas so he can have the freedom. That's just a metaphor for what happened to us. We got so overregulated. No one ever really – we always talk about taxes and we talk about homelessness. We talk about water and we're overregulated. We're so regulated by these assholes who just sit and make rules all day but never really experience those rules that we can't progress. We can't build. We can't innovate. We can't do all this stuff. We chase out business. So much of it, it's insidious. You know, if you ever talk to any experts about, you know, what goes on in these third world nations, and they always talk about, you know, violence and rape and crime and stuff. It's all grift. What ruins them is grift. Everyone needs to get paid, and they can no longer move forward. Well, what the fuck do you think regulation is? It's just grift. It's the same as living in a third world nation. Like, I don't have enough money to pay everyone to get every permit, to ask, to wait for the time period for the Coastal Commission to approve the whatever. We just don't have. It's grift. It's regulated. It's official grift that California does that stifles all the shit we're talking about, and they got to back off it, and they won't.
There's a solution to it, which is ultimately, and the hardest one is housing. You know, because nobody wants more housing in their own neighborhood, and so you're in a prisoner's dilemma where everybody's like, "Well, put more housing in your neighborhood, man, not in mine." So the solution, we know what to do, which is that you have to have societal consensus. The way you build societal consensus, I'm proposing, is through what we call citizens' juries. They've done this in different countries, but basically you get several hundred citizens, you impanel representative random selection of them. They do town hall meetings, let's say in 12 cities over 12 months on – and I think the issues are housing, energy and water, and education. They then do that. They come back to the legislature. You do this for 2023. You come back to the legislature January 2024 with this. You know, it's not like a blue ribbon commission. It's a people's commission that represents the public, what the public wants. But from people that have spent some time really looking at it and debating it and meeting with experts on all sides, they come back to the legislature. The legislature can pass that legislation. And if they don't, then the governor in his role can help get that on the ballot. And this may happen already on education. So we have greater school choice so parents can choose where their kids go to school. That may be on the ballot in 2024. I think as governor, I'll have a mandate to certainly keep our nuclear plant open and build enough plants to keep us going. But I'm going to need that consensus to build desalination facilities, water recycling facilities. And the big one is on housing. If we get the agreement among the society that we're all going to add more housing to our neighbors, you're going to have more housing in the cities and you're going to have more suburbs on ranch and farmlands, of which there's plenty. Anybody that flies over California as often as I do, you see there's plenty of land actually.
Yes.
And then the governor, first of all, can waive a lot of the regulations. I mentioned that we do that on when you want to get a stadium built, they waive the CEQA regulations. You can waive the regulations, but you can get the legislation or you do a ballot initiative. That's the kind of leadership that we're going to need. At the end of the day, if the people of California want to live in the, you know, in the catastrophe that we've created, then that's what's going to happen. The only way out of it is if you actually build this consensus, which I think exists. I think we can get somewhere between 70 to 80% support for most of what I'm talking about: energy abundance, water abundance, housing abundance, high-performing schools where parents have choice, and an end to the homeless encampments. I think that is an agenda that has broad support.
Who in their right mind wouldn't support that?
Yeah, it sounds like a utopia.
Well, I don't have all the votes in yet, so we'll see. Schellenbergerforgovernor.com, by the way, if people want to go and check it out.
All right, let me hit a spot, and then we'll roll into some quick news. Freshly, you want to take the stress out of cooking? Freshly, quality meals without the hard work, designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, delivered fresh, ready to eat in just 3 minutes at the end of a long day. Takeout shouldn't be your only option. They have so many healthy meals that you can peruse on their website. It's hard to pick a favorite. Use the Freshly website or the app. Find the meals that fit your lifestyle, dietary needs, taste, and family size. Choose from over 50 nutritionist-designed entrees. New meals added weekly, and you can skip the grocery store and the dirty dishes and get in with Freshly, right, Dawson?
Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $125 off your first five orders when you go to Freshly.com/ACS. That's $125 off at Freshly.com/ACS.
All right, quick break. Back with some fast news right after this.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything Reminds Me of Something, coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Beat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
All right, let's do some fast news. Let's talk Harvey Weinstein. He won't be getting out of prison anytime soon. His bid to overturn his rape conviction has been dismissed. Oh. The disgraced producer argued that the trial judge made procedural missteps and favored the prosecution. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, a 5-justice appellate panel of the New York Supreme Court in a unanimous decision backed the trial judge's ruling. A spokesman for Weinstein said, "We're disappointed, but we're not surprised." He was, of course, convicted in 2020 on 2 of 5 charges of committing.
Is he in California now or is he back in New York? Well,
good question.
Gavin's going to let him out?
Well, because he was sentenced to 23 years in New York.
And then he came out here, and then I thought he was going to get out. Either way, listen,
he'll be up for parole in 2040.
I'm not rooting for the man.
Be 111 years old.
But I told Mark Garagos when the shit was going down, gas up the jet. And head to some place we didn't have an extradition treaty with. And he said, nah.
Roman, baby, I'm coming over.
I said, I cannot recommend that. And I said, I would, because I don't think this is going to turn out good for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we can go to France anymore.
Oh, really?
I think they may have tweaked it. But there are other places you could go.
Less desirable locations?
Yeah, where... But you'd have your freedom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett has finally, and I love using this phrase.
Well, can I say this? With the whole Roman Polanski thing, the guy's a poster child for fleeing extradition, right? Yes. I mean, you'll just go to France and you'll go to Paris and be the toast of the town for the next 57 years.
Yeah. You're going to come.
We'll send you your Oscar in the mail. you can stay in your chateau.
Yeah.
It's amazing that more people don't do it.
Yeah.
Cosby never did it. Weinstein never did it. There's a lot of these guys are rich, rich guys who have jets that'll make it out off this continent for 2 days' notice. They don't do it. I think it's a hubris. I think they think they're going to win.
They're better and bigger than the law.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk Jada Pinkett, who has broken her silence. She's directly addressed the Oscar slap for the first time.
In this case, I think it counts.
I do, too. And, it is chef's kiss. It tracks perfectly with what you think she's going to say. This was, of course, an episode of Red Table Talk. She spoke about alopecia and hair loss and all this stuff. So, of course, we know that's why Chris Rock got slapped.
It's hard for women, and especially women under 123 pounds, to be blowhards.
Yeah.
But she's a rare exception.
She succeeds admirably.
She is a tremendous blowhard, even though she doesn't have the stature or the gender to pull it off like a lot of people could. But she is.
Well, she's good. Mm-hmm. So this is what she had to say about her husband slapping Chris Rock.
About Oscar night. My deepest hope is that these two intelligent, capable men have an opportunity to heal, talk this out, and reconcile. The state of the world today, we need them both. And we all actually need one another more than ever. Until then, Will and I are continuing to do what we have done for the last 28 years.
Swing, baby.
And let's keep figuring out this thing called life together. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
I don't like the new world order where... your dog shits on my lawn, and then you have the town hall where, like, everybody's...
Yeah. We got to heal.
You're not getting... We got to come together. We got to... No, you got to fucking bag your dog shit. Yeah. You shit on my lawn. This is not an equal thing where we're going to come together. One person...
Have a dialogue about dog shit.
One person was hosting, and the other person assaulted them.
Yeah.
That'd be the guy you're married to.
And screamed at him.
So now... I know it takes a village, but now it's time for you to go, I think maybe my husband is a little out of line.
Well, guess who agrees with you?
Hmm.
Vivica A. Fox.
Uh-oh.
She and Carson Kressley, fashionista Carson Kressley.
Strange combo.
They're co-hosting Wendy Williams together because they're doing like different co-hosts every week.
Okay.
And she knows both of them. She did movies with both of them. Independence Day with Will and something I can't remember.
You know what? I got to go gay.
Girls Trip?
No, set it off.
Is that racist?
Set it off.
I think if you go gay, no one can ever really accuse your career falling apart.
Oh, more you know.
Because...
Wait, that's not true. Amber Heard's with a lady.
Oh, not that kind of gay.
Oh, okay.
Talking good gay.
Oh, okay.
Not fun gay.
I see.
I'm saying...
Sincere gay.
I would go, geez, I haven't heard from this guy in a million years. What the hell is he up to? But if you're gay, you go, oh, no. He's huge in the whatever. Yeah. You get to say... It's like a band that plays soccer stadiums in Argentina. I've never even heard of those guys. Oh, they're huge.
Get on their radar. Like,
so you go gay. No one can ever really figure out if the career is bottomed out or not. Pardon the pun.
Right.
Yeah. Because here he is hosting Wendy Williams'
show.
Happy
as a clam.
That's right.
So Vivica basically says that, well, she did say that Jada's acting self-righteously, which I think a lot of people agree with. And here is her sort of explaining that.
I felt to be a good partner, there was no accountability. Will Smith was defending her honor. That was right the reason he walked on stage and slapped.
Oh, I gotta get long nails.
Because he felt like his his wife
punctuate
had been
everything on loose.
So for me to see no accountability as a partner. Also, let's not forget that Chris Rock was assaulted.
What has happened?
We cannot forget that.
She's stately.
That's my move. Tap my acrylic nails.
For basically telling a joke that I really felt wasn't that bad.
Yeah. And then when she asks, she gives a long speech, and when she asks Carson what he thinks, he goes off on, brilliantly goes off on Jada Pinkett Smith's white turtleneck. I thought it was too chunky in the neck. It was perfect.
Good.
I got to get the acrylic nails to, again, punctuate the points with the tapping. Also, an allotment of bracelets,
Jingly bangles.
When I'm making a point, making that bangly sound.
Oh, and one more thing you have to do that wasn't in the clip because there was a lot of stuff in between it. She starts to get emotional and quietly to herself says, come on, Viv.
Oh, good. She's steadying herself.
Oh, wait. I don't do Viv, though.
You say Adam.
You shouldn't say.
You say Adam.
Okay, got it.
Come on, Adam. You got this.
You got it.
Will there be debates, Michael, for the gubernatorial race?
Before Tuesday, but if it's a top two vote getters, we get past Tuesday, then I think the governor will have to debate me at least once.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count on him doing anything that sounds logical or reasonable. I wouldn't trust that guy as far as I could throw him. You really think he's going to debate you or anyone?
Well, he has to usually. That's their MO is that they do one debate.
Okay.
So
I'll look forward to it. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, you'll enjoy debating him.
Just you say one logical thing and all of a sudden like his ears start steaming like a robot. Yeah, shutting down. Do we have time for one more?
Mm-hmm.
I've been dying to get to this for a while. This is for Dawson. And I know we have a picture of this somewhere. Burrito lovers, we all have the same problem. We've all seen this now. This is your platform.
Yeah, put this
Michael,
on your
I feel like
campaign.
This is strong.
All right.
The problem with a burrito is it comes undone while you're eating it. How are you supposed to enjoy your delicious burrito? Well, a group of heroes... engineering students at Johns Hopkins University have created an edible tape they call Tasty Tape, which can be used to keep a burrito from falling while you're eating it. The students say they were inspired by their own experience eating burritos. They use their knowledge of chemistry and biomolecular science to figure out how to make this adhesive tape that can be eaten. It doesn't look super appetizing. Yeah, you have the picture. It kind of looks like mold, but I think it's more like seaweed.
Let me point out, actually, I saw this and I saw the caption. It says it is color blue for the picture.
Oh, good.
The tape itself is like.
Yeah, not an appetizing color. But the students are applying for a patent, so they obviously can't tell us exactly how they did it and what it's made from. But they insist every ingredient is safe to consume.
They did it. Blue's the standard color. Like
it shouldn't be.
For like maxi pad commercials.
That's true.
Yeah, the liquid.
Blue and purple.
They always... Yeah,
if that was coming out of you, see a doctor immediately.
Yeah. I don't know. I like where their head's at.
Looking radiator fluid.
I think there's going to be – this won't live in just the realm of the burrito for any real length of time. It probably has a sexual application as well. There's going to be some taping of the concubine and
edible.
Some eating of the tape off of the – there's going to be some
–
it's going to make its way into the porn
and
world.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I don't have Dawson, you eat 28 burritos a week.
Yeah, I remember my first burrito.
You don't need this tape.
No, seriously.
That's
what the foil is for. And also you have hands.
Wow.
Well, we're just not hold it together. It's a burrito.
Now, where do you come down on a roach clip? Same audience? That's what I'm saying. Not with the burrito.
But if you don't have nails, what are you supposed to do?
It's amateur hour. Seeing the roach clip or the tape on the burrito, it's amateur hour.
What the roach clip speaks to is that you are very, very poor.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have a lot of pot.
So not a lot of time.
And you can use two
people.
Keys for that, too. I mean, anyone who just goes out and gets a roach clip.
Now, what about the chopsticks with the rubber band thing in between them? More amateur hour for you, Dawson?
I don't know.
You don't even recognize those people.
No.
So this is basically, it's the training wheels
for
burrito
I live a burrito-centric life, and this is totally unnecessary.
Michael, can Dawson be your burrito czar?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as long as I'm giving away appointments at this point. Yeah, why not?
Let's build some dams, Michael.
Burrito over there.
Water storage.
John, he just talked me into it.
Great. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Fuck it. I hate this country. Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, you can go help out Michael's campaign by going to his website, SchellenbergerForGovernor.com, and shoot him a tweet as well at SchellenbergerMD. Oh, Godspeed is all I have to say, but I'm scared of the folks who vote in this state. Kevin LaRosa, well, Top Gun, you heard of that one?
Go see it again.
And you can shoot him on Instagram at K2_LaRosa. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. Live shows coming up everywhere. Denver, Colorado, coming up the end of June. Sonny will be with me. You can pre-order my book as well at AdamCarolla.com. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Kevin De La Rosa. Kevin LaRosa, Michael Schellenberger, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan saying mahalo.
How do we get more people addicted to drugs and living on the street?
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.